Okay. Well, let's pray. We'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the night, and as we stop and consider you now and consider your word, we pray that you will be the one ministering to our hearts and souls. Father, meet the needs that we may have within our inner being this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the topic tonight is doubts. Do you have doubts? We all have doubts to some degree. It just depends on what you have doubts about. You might have a doubt that your car is going to get you home tonight. I have no doubts because I've got a great wall, so I'm safe. All right, but others may have doubts that their car's going to get them home. I know that when I fly anywhere in a plane, I have great doubts that the plane is going to get me there safely. That's one of the problems I have. I don't like flying, and it's because I doubt it's going to get there safely. I just assume it's going to drop out of the sky at some stage. And so we can have doubts about different things. It can only get a little bit more serious when you start doubting your parents' advice. That's something that I would suggest not to do. I was reflecting on probably the biggest mistake or worst time I ever doubted my parents was when my father was had told me that petrol burns. Can you believe that? I had doubts about that as a young bloke, and I couldn't believe that liquid could burn. And one day, my friend and I were down, we're at a campsite, Beshan, that's where I lived, and there was the machinery shed, and in the machinery shed was parked the bus, the 30-seat bus, and the tractor, and other tools there, and I was saying to my friend, do you know that my dad reckons that petrol burns? He goes, yeah, it does. I go, no, it doesn't, it couldn't, it's liquid. And thankfully, there was this big 44-gallon drum just on the edge, which, looking back now, I'm guessing it. When I think of the consequences of what happened, it probably was diesel more than petrol and filling up the tractor and so on. And so on this 44-gallon drum, they have the squirters, you know, where you can squirt them out. I don't know if you still have them. They're still around. And so I was pumping that onto the ground where we had a puddle about that big. And then we looked around and I found some matches. Kids don't do this. This is very bad. And I was saying to him, I cannot believe that petrol burns. So I got that match and lit it and put it on there and kaboom. It burns, I discovered. And that caught on light, the 44-gallon drum caught on light, and then it started to go up the timber work of the shed, and my friend and I had dirt and we're trying to throw it on there to get rid of it. And thankfully, Uncle Billy, the cook, he noticed, saw all the flames, and he come running down with a fire extinguisher and saved the tractor and the bus and the shed and probably me as well in the process. Although there were some severe consequences to come later afterwards, believe you me. But I doubted what my father said. Children, never doubt your father if they say petrol or diesel burns, because it does. And probably nothing else as well. And so there can be consequences when we doubt people. What about when we doubt God? That can be a serious thing. As Christians, we can be filled with doubts. Sometimes we doubt the most basic thing, is God real? I'm sure most Christians have doubts at times. Is he real? Did he really make us? Or is what we see all that there is? Or is God real? And sometimes we have to deal with those doubts. Many doubt their salvation. They find it hard to believe that God could forgive them or would forgive them, or is believing enough to be forgiven? Have I believed in a manner that has brought salvation? There are lots of reasons that bring doubts about salvation, and that's something that many can have as well. Many doubt that God actually loves them. They might not have that problem when everything's going well, but when things or troubles come in your life, one of the first things that pops into your mind is, does God really love me? And there's that doubt about God's love. Or the doubt that we can trust God. If I surrender my life to God, can I trust Him to do what's best? Or can I trust Him that He's not going to make my life miserable? That was one of the biggest struggles that I had to work through. Could I trust Him to surrender my life? Because I was convinced that He would, if I did that, then He'd make my life miserable. I later discovered in life, knowing, learning about God, not only did I not have to worry about that, but if He wants to make my life miserable, He doesn't need my permission. So don't let surrendering to the Lord or the fear that He's going to make your life miserable stop you from surrendering to the Lord. Because He can make your life miserable if you surrender or not. He's that powerful. It's best to surrender to Him and allow Him to have your way in your life. But people doubt that. They doubt they can have victory over sins or maybe particular sins. And so at times we have doubts about the Lord as well. And tonight what I want to do is just look at what we should do when doubts come. That concept of doubt and how to deal with them. And I'm going to go to probably the person you've already thought about in Thomas to learn what we should do to deal with doubts. You might think, Thomas, he's the one that got it all wrong. But sometimes I think that Thomas is someone that is very similar to us and helps us what to do and teaches us what to do when doubts come. You know, some people are known for their faith. When you think of someone, when I say a man of faith, who do you think of? You might have thought of Abraham. I've been doing a very slow series. I'm getting it prepared to preach on at some stage, but I'm up to maybe message 5 or something. I like to get ahead a fair bit first, but I'm amazed at how faithless Abraham he was. He did. It's amazing. God says he's a man of faith, but to be a man of faith doesn't mean you have to always have faith. And that's an encouragement. We'll see that later on when we look at Abraham. But some people are known as being someone of faith. We think of patience. We know who we think of. Bravery. You might think of David or a love for God. Now, poor old Thomas, he's known for doubting. You make a few mistakes, you get a name, and it's hard to shake. And that's exactly what it was for Thomas. But I believe he's one of the people that we can learn from. We should remember that Thomas wasn't the one who betrayed Christ. Now, that was Judas. He wasn't the one who denied Christ. Now, that was Peter. We have to remember that he went out and preached about the kingdom of heaven, just like the other disciples after the crucifixion of Christ. Thomas was still there with the disciples. And history tells us that he went to India as a missionary and he was willing to give up his life for Christ as well. And so let's not give him a hard time. In fact, he outshines us when it comes to faithfulness to the Lord in every aspect of life, I believe. And he certainly was a lot more faithful than most of us. But despite this, it does seem as though he had some problems just like we do. Now, when it comes to looking at Thomas, there are 3 occasions where he is highlighted specifically. He's mentioned with the other disciples a number of times, but there are 3 times where he's mentioned specifically. One time he does nothing wrong. You know, when Jesus, night before he's crucified, he said that I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know not, and so on. And so he was telling that he's going to go and prepare a place. And Thomas asks a simple question, we don't know the way, can you show us the way? And that's not a doubting question, that's just inquisitive. I just want to make sure we've got it right, and we're all like that. And Jesus said those beautiful words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so that was the first time, but the second time that he is mentioned, or another time he is mentioned, is in John chapter 11. It's worth there, and I think this is one of the most teachable chapters when it comes to doubts that we have when it comes to our Christian life. Because we see that we are very similar to Thomas, but we can learn the lesson of what we should do from Thomas. In John chapter 11, This is the time when Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha had sent messengers to tell Jesus that he was sick and that they needed his help. And in John chapter 11, verses 5 to 7, we read this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Well, I've gone ahead a little bit, haven't I? But we see here that he's asked to go, and he stays there for a little bit, and then he says that he's going to go to Judea. And as we read there, the disciples, when they heard that Jesus was going to go back down through Judea to see Lazarus, they said, Are you sure you want to go there? The Jews are trying to kill you. I don't think this is a good idea. And if we read on, we read this. Jesus answered, Are not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. He'll wake up by himself. That's basically what they're saying. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spake taking a rest in his sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so that's the picture. Jesus wanted to go to Judea to see Lazarus and raise him from the dead. But the disciples, as we see there earlier on, they didn't want him to go. It was too dangerous, they believed. There were too many risks involved in going down to that place. He shouldn't be walking around where so many people can see him. Things could quickly get out of control if he went down there at that time. But Jesus said in a roundabout way, Don't you worry about that. I need to go down to Lazarus and I'm going to raise him from the dead, and so let's go. And after Jesus says this, that's when we read of Thomas, and he says those words, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And that's a little verse, and the way he said that, you know, it really depends on, you have to be there to know what he was genuinely meaning there. He could have been this in a positive way. Yeah, let's go with him and die with him. You know, like he could have been all fired up about this. Or he could have been in a sad, negative way. Oh, well, let's all go and die with him, you know. Sort of depending on how he said it. But regardless of how you read it, Thomas thought they were all going to die. That's the reality. He thought Jesus would die doing this, and he assumed that if they went with Jesus, they would end up dying as well. And so he doubted Christ. He doubted the Lord Jesus in many ways. When you stop and consider it, he doubted that Jesus was in control of the situation, for starters. He doubted that Jesus could protect himself. He doubted that Jesus could protect them. Otherwise, he wouldn't have thought they were all going to die. Why would he think that? He would have, in fact, if he was very sure that Jesus was in control and he had no doubts, his words probably should have been very different, where he should have rebuked the disciples for being cautious and tell them, let's just trust Jesus. He knows what he's doing. He's in control of all things. Let's not doubt him a bit. And if that's where he wants to go, we're going to go with him. That's probably what he should have been doing if he was full of assurance. But it seems that Thomas wasn't too sure that Jesus knew what he was doing. Doubts about Christ's wisdom. You ever doubt his wisdom? Do you think this is the best way, God? He doubted Christ's advice. Do we doubt his word? Doubt his decision making? Wow, I thought things would have turned out differently to this. Are you sure you made the right decision there, Lord? Doubted his protection. Lots of doubts. Just like us, when things go well, there's not too many doubts. When things aren't going to plan, that's when we start to doubt the wisdom of God, the advice of God, the decision-making of God, maybe even the protection of God. Doubts flood our minds. And friends, when these doubts do arise, we need to act just like Thomas. If you have doubts in some area when it comes to the things of God, and we all have these times, what is a Christian ought to do? It'd be nice to live without any doubts, but the reality is we all have them at times. And so what should we do? Well, we ought to take Thomas's example. You see, Thomas didn't keep trying to convince Jesus not to go. He didn't try and convince the other disciples to gang up on Jesus. Let's none of us go, just let him go by himself. Or as they all went, he didn't say, well, see you later, I'm going the other direction, I'm out of here now. Now, he didn't do any of those things. In fact, despite the doubts, despite his concerns, he still went with Jesus. Even though in his mind there was a very good possibility he was going to die following the Lord Jesus, he still was willing to follow him. I find that a beautiful little example of what God wants us to be doing when we have doubts. Similar to Job. You know, Job, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if I'm going to be slain, I'm still going to do what God wants. You see, Thomas's love for Christ was greater than his doubts of Christ. I think that's an important thing. I love you enough to follow you, even though I have a few doubts. My love for you outweighs my doubts. Yes, there's some doubts in my mind, but I'm still going to follow you, Lord Jesus. Thomas didn't allow the doubts to stop him from obeying the Lord. He didn't allow his doubts to stop him from following Christ and doing what he knows his Savior wanted to do in following him. Even if it meant death, that's how much he was willing to continue to follow out of love for Christ, even though there were doubts. And brethren, when we have doubts, this is how we need to be acting. We shouldn't let those doubts stop us from trusting the Lord and doing what we know we ought to be doing and what he wants us to do. Our love for him needs to be greater than our doubts. I was only reflecting, you know, I tried to think of big times in my life in decision making. Probably one of the biggest decision times for us, Linda and I, was when we were planning to come down here. When we believed that's where the Lord would have us. But I can tell you, I was riddled with doubts. Doubts everywhere. One of them was, would we be able to find a house to live in? Now, if you've seen the houses that we've got to live in, what a ridiculous thing to doubt. God has blessed us abundantly with lovely homes. But I thought, is that we're going to be able to have anywhere to live? One of the other doubts was, would there be a good school for our children to go to? And I discovered when I got down there, there was this beautiful school that has blessed us abundantly through Olivet. And so that doubt was ridiculous as well. I didn't tell the church or the deacon this, but probably one of the other biggest doubts was I had a terrible time with my throat. I would lose my voice when I preached a lot. I was always sore. I thought my throat was going to give out on me. And I had big troubles with my throat, and I doubted that I was going to actually last being able to preach regularly. I thought, I'm going to get down there, my throat's going to give out after a year, and then they've brought me down here for nothing. And so that was a big doubt, and I had to just trust the Lord. And I look back now, my throat's stronger than it's ever been, just doing what God wanted me to do. Another doubt was, and you might say, well, when it's still jury still out on this one, I thought, am I going to be of any value to the church? You know, wow, surely they can find someone better. And you probably could have, by the way, but thank you for still keeping me around. But in time, we might discover if I should have doubted that as well. But they were just some of the doubts, and then there were lots of other little ones as well. But as time has gone by, those doubts have been dismissed as I've seen the Lord be faithful and true. But the reality is, Linda and I still came down here despite the doubts. Because our love for Christ and our willingness to obey Him outweighed the doubts and the fears that we have. Now, brethren, the fact is, throughout our life, we're going to have doubts. I don't think we're going to finish having doubts until we get to heaven and we see Him and it's no longer a walk of faith, but we walk by sight. But until that time, it is a walk of faith. And so there's going to be those lingering doubts. And I wonder if you've been someone that has allowed the doubts to stop you from doing what God would have you to do. There's so many ways that that can affect us. Has He called you to do something, but you have doubted that you're actually capable of doing it, so you just haven't done it? Or you doubted that He will provide for you if you do that, or He'll help you in some way, and so you've allowed doubts to stop you. Maybe the Lord's called you to Bible college, but you doubt you can afford it, or how you're going to survive, and so you've allowed those doubts to stop you. Maybe it's ministry, the ministry, and the doubts of that has stopped you. Maybe the Lord has been saying you need to surrender your entire life, and you haven't done that yet because of the doubts that come up as soon as you think of those things. The reality is, when there's something that God asks you to do, most times there are doubts that spring up straight away. But what about this and what about that? What happens if that happens? And you have to work out, do I love Christ more and trust Him? Or am I going to allow those doubts to stop me? Well, you know, Thomas, despite his doubts of what he thought was probably certain death, still did not allow him to stop following Christ. And the Lord did protect him. And Thomas saw a wonderful miracle, one that he would never have been able to see unless he trusted the Lord. And brethren, we will never regret following the Lord either. We'll always regret it if we allow doubts to stop us. But we'll never regret it when we follow the Lord despite the doubts. And so we need to be like Thomas's and obey despite the doubts. And so that's the example that we have of him. Now let me see how... Oh, we've got plenty of time. Let's go to the other occasion. And this is the one that we all know. It's in John chapter 20. And we know of this as after the resurrection. And Thomas wouldn't believe that Jesus had really risen from the dead unless he saw it for himself. Sorry, turn to Matthew 20. I want to read something there. This is the thing that gets me. This wasn't... Jesus spelt it out so clearly, the events that would unfold to his disciples, and Thomas was there. And it does make me wonder why he would have doubted at this time. Have a look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. In verse 17 it says, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and he said unto them..." So he's going to tell them what's going to happen. "Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." And if you look at the sequence of events, the reality is they did go to Jerusalem. And he was betrayed. And the priests and the scribes did condemn him to death. And he was handed over to the Gentiles, and he was mocked, and he was scourged, and he was crucified. So everything that Jesus said came to pass. There was only one more little bit of that, wasn't there? And on the third day he would rise again. And so you think, if he got everything else right, surely, why would that last little bit not come to pass? But even though that, he still doubted. Now, add to that, that on the Sunday morning, the tomb where he laid was empty. Ooh, well, that should be enough. And then, no one could find the body. And even that night, he then appears to the other disciples. And despite their excitement, despite their testimony, despite the fact they have no reason to lie to him, he still refuses to believe. And so, can you see, he was set in his mind, I'm not going to believe regardless, even though everything made sense and it was very clear. We know the story back in John. If you turn back there, and we'll get there and read a couple of other verses, but if you turn back to John chapter 20, he said, "Unless I put my finger in his fingerprints and in the side, I will not believe." So Thomas wasn't going to believe anyone. Now you might think, well, how could he do that? But let's just think about us for a moment. How can we doubt? We have his word, and Jesus makes so many things so clear. You know, we doubt that he's in control. We doubt that he's with us. Yet he has said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said that all things will work together for good to them that love him. He has said that just like if an evil father loves to give gifts, your heavenly father will want to give even greater gifts. He has told us in many places of his love and his willingness to help us, yet we doubt him. We doubt that he will save us, yet he has told us that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that he that hath the Son hath life. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life, yet we still have doubts. We doubt that we're able to overcome certain temptations, yet he's told us he'll never suffer us to be tempted above what we're able, that we can do all things through Christ, that we're more than conquerors through him, yet we still have doubts. And you could go through all those things. Jesus has made it very clear in many things that where we can trust him, yet we still doubt. Just like Thomas did. The thing I really like about the end of that story is that Jesus did come and he helped Thomas to believe. If you have a look in John chapter 20, verse 26, it says, "After 8 days, again the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then he said unto Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing.'" You know, what we do see here is a Savior that was still very patient with Thomas. Even though he had been with Jesus for 3 years, seen miracle after miracle, he had heard the very words of Jesus and what was going to take place, yet he still doubted. Jesus didn't wipe him off and say, "Well, I'll have 10 disciples. Judas is no good, you're no good, I'm just going to take the 10 and use." No, he said, I need to help you with this and I'm going to help you to trust me. And so he did an amazing thing for him. And you know, he went out and preached the gospel. And the thing that amazes me is he went, if he did go to India and other places, he went when people had never seen Jesus and all they had was Thomas's testimony of what he saw about Jesus and how Jesus rose from the dead. And if the stories are told, which I'm sure, people en masse believe the gospel. The gospel that Thomas spoke to them. They didn't get to see Jesus at all. They didn't get to touch his nail prints or anything. They believed the word that Thomas spoke. I wonder when he saw the faith of people, when they heard the gospel that he preached, he admired their faith, understanding that he wasn't even willing to believe like they did. My brethren, one day we're going to see our Savior, going to see those nailed, scarred hands. We're going to see His great glory and His power. We're going to see the heaven and all that He has prepared for us, and all doubts will disappear. And we will walk by sight and no longer faith. Yet until that time, He wants us to trust and believe Him. He says there in verse 29 to Thomas, "Thomas, believe, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that are not seen, that have not seen, yet have believed." And unless you're really old, you're one of them. All right? You have not seen, yet you have believed. And Jesus says that there is a blessing for us who are like that. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And although Jesus will be patient with our doubts, I really believe that. Ultimately, peace, joy, happiness, true blessing will not be ours unless we believe Him despite our doubts. And so doubts may come. Let's make sure they don't turn into unbelief and disobedience. But take the example of Thomas. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You know our hearts. You know we are fearful. We doubt You sometimes more than we trust You. Thank You, You know our frames. You know that we're but dust. Thank You that You're willing to help us through the doubts. Lord, I pray that we will grow in our knowledge and love for You so that our love will be far greater than any doubts that may come. That we may serve You in the ways You have called us and trust You to follow You wherever You lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.